Hello, and welcome to The Insightful Journey, a podcast where we talk about spirituality, shamanism, tarot, paranormal, witchcraft, whatever else happens to happen into our minds. That was weird English, okay? I'm doing good. My name is Charlie, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host.
Hey, everybody, Jameson. I'm tripping on that. Got tripped on a cord. I'm sorry.
You're doing good, too. All right, man. Hey, so what's going on?
So not much, but I did decide to see if my mentor in shamanism and great friend wanted to come join us. And actually, we got a hold of him. And so I would love to introduce to you guys one of my great friends. I think we were trying to figure out, it's been 10 years, maybe, could be less, time changes, I don't know. And but Casey is the only person at the time when I had my spiritual awakening that I felt comfortable talking to. And we didn't even know each other, really. We were just acquaintances? Yeah, whatever. And had mutual friends, but we didn't really know each other. And then I had awakening that scared the living shit out of me. And I was like, you know, I feel like I should talk to this guy. So I'd like to introduce to everybody my great friend and mentor in shamanism, Casey McBride, a.k.a. the Space Shaman. You can find him on YouTube. He'll tell you more about it. Hey, Casey.
Thank you, Jameson. Yeah, I remember that. It was so funny. I had actually called you. It was the crazy part, right? So we hadn't spoken in several years, I think, actually, because we used to hang out with our mutual friend Tim, and that group kind of fell apart. And I hadn't spoken to anyone from that group, including you, in a couple of years at least. And then
yeah,
the one I decided to go out for Chinese food. I went to this place called the Great Wall Buffet. It's a Chinese buffet. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to call Jameson and see if he wants to join me here. So I called you and I was like, hey, man, how are you? And you're like, I don't know. I was like, wow. What's going on, man? And then you proceeded to tell me about this really intense experience you had. And I was like, hey, man, and you were thinking about going to the hospital and you thought you were losing your mind or whatever. And I was like, dude, I'm like, if you don't, even if you don't believe me, like, look it up. You're having a spiritual awakening. And I kind of explained a lot about it. And then we got together a few times and I was showing you like how I remember you were talking to me, like, my whole body is just tingly. Like, my whole body feels tingly. Wow. And I was like, yeah, that's you're feeling your body's energy. And then we got together. I remember we were, I think we were at Cuyahoga Valley National Park, and I was showing you how you can through intention move that sensation. You can make it into a ball in your hands. You can increase the sensation in parts of your body. You can flow it into another person. And I was giving proof to your subconscious mind that this was something real and not just, you know, some kind of hallucination or something that your mind was making up. And it was just so beautiful. I remember because I had sensed for a while when we were hanging out with Tim and them, I had sensed all of the spiritual energy building. And I remember even a few times having the thought of, I'm willing to bet he's going to have a spiritual crisis, like spiritual awakening. I remember I thought that a few times, and and sure enough, it happened. So, yeah, it was beautiful to watch that unfold. It's beautiful, beautiful to have been your friend through all of this and see you, discovering your gifts and now sharing them with people, which I think is incredible.
That is awesome, man. That's pretty awesome. So. Oh, okay, so Casey, yeah, Jameson, literally, anyway. Casey, anyway, since I don't really know you, I know Jameson's good friend of yours, but what practices, what all do you, I don't know, give us a good introduction on yourself, you know, like, what are your practices, what you're trained in, these kind of things.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. I had my initial spiritual awakening and dived right into things. I want to say that was 17 or 18 years ago now.
Okay.
I was young. I think I was, how old? I'm 33 now. So what, whatever, 18 years ago, I was what, like 15, something like that.
Yeah.
I think I was about 15 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. I was young. And, and I actually, I won't go into the whole story, today, cause that could be the whole podcast. It could easily be more than one podcast. I actually did a podcast once and it ended up being almost 3 hours long.
Oh, Lord.
So you start talking and it just keeps going and going. It's amazing. Yes.
Well, there's a lot to it. But anyway, really, really long story short, had a near-death experience. I was an atheist, right? Total atheist. I was. I would actually get into, and this was like in early high school, you know. I would get into arguments with people who were religious and spiritual, and I was highly intelligent, you know, but and I would argue with people and be, you know, okay, the only reason you have these beliefs is because you're in denial of the fact that one day you're going to die and there's just nothing and you can't accept that and you're afraid of that. But all these, you know how atheists can be.
Oh, yeah, I've been there, done that.
But anyway, So I was a pretty angry, miserable person at that time in my life. Spirit had other plans for me. They said, you're not going down that path. So, ended up, again, long story, very short, ended up in the hospital. They gave me a particular drug that, it was one of those medicines where there's a 1 in 10,000 chance that you could have a severe reaction and die.
Mm-hmm.
From this medication. And I had that reaction. And I, you know, last thing I remember, I was in a hospital room and I was alone there, you know, in between nurses and things checking on me. And I felt my throat starting to close up and my body was like starting to seize up. And remember I started to lose the ability to breathe and I walked out into the hallway and I remember I reached out and I was trying to like yell for a nurse and I just made eye contact with some nurse and then I remember starting to fall and the next thing I knew I was in this big vast open void space and I knew I was like something had happened. I had like died and I was out of my body, but I remember I was so set in my ways. I was so dogmatic about my whole atheistic view of the world that I asked into this space. I didn't say something like, is there an afterlife or is there something after this? My question was, so there's nothing after this, right? And I got hit with, it felt like, you know, only way I can describe it. And now it's, you know, it was whatever. Vitacocha, creator, creatress, source, oneness, God, whatever you want to call it, hit me with this no, but it was a no of like all of your previous beliefs about reality are incorrect. And it just like shattered me. I remember this feeling of being shattered and broken apart, like my body, my mind, my emotions, everything just got shattered into a million pieces.
Wow.
And then I had the sensation of falling through layers of reality.
Okay.
Couldn't have told you that back then. And then as I was falling, I landed in my body and I remember like taking a big breath and I was in a different hospital bed hooked up to all these, this equipment and stuff. And I was like, oh, and I popped back, back into reality. But that was, you know, as intense as that little experience was, that was nothing compared to what came after. Before I was atheist, I was raised Catholic Christian. And so neither of those schools of thought taught me anything about energy or spiritual beings or consciousness or any of these spiritual experiences. And all of a sudden, I was able to feel energy, see spiritual beings, communicate with spiritual beings. So I thought, the doctors told me I was insane. You know, for being able to see and feel energy, all of this stuff. And I believed them for a while. But then I remember there was just this feeling inside of me like, no, this is something real and sacred. And also there were experiences that I had that I was like, how can that be in my mind? There's no way. You know, things that other people could feel and see and experience alongside me at the same time. And so I started just digging. I was looking. This was bad. This was long enough ago that there, you know, nowadays you have a spiritual awakening. You go on Facebook and you can type in spiritual awakening and there's a million Facebook groups and YouTube videos. And back then that wasn't, the internet wasn't like that. You know, I don't even think Facebook was around. Maybe it was, but I didn't have it if it was. But anyway, so I was just searching as much as I could online. Just Googling about different things, and I came across a few different like forums and things online that were talking about this stuff, and I eventually made my way to shamanism, and then I found a book on shamanism. Can't remember what it's called, something like The Unlimited Healing Powers of Cosmos and Consciousness, like A Beginner's Guide to Shamanism or something like that. It was by this woman who had studied with several indigenous traditions. And she was basically giving a guide into how to get started into journeying and connecting with your spirit guides. And so I had this book. And I remember it was really wild because I started reading it, and then there was like a practice to do to get started with sensing certain energies and then eventually journeying. And then what would happen was then I would go on my own and I would just play with things and I would do my own experiments and practices. And then like I would have this experience, and then I would read the next chapter in the book, and it was talking about what I had already experienced like the day before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really cool. but through that, I connected with my my Yanapak, my spirit family. My main spirit family, I mean, I have many. I am friends and family with so many spiritual beings, so many gods and goddesses. But my main kind of core group are four members of the Alliance. So that you have an image to picture that by, most humans would call them angels, winged humanoids. It's not, we can talk more about that later. That's not their real form. You know, members of the Alliance are from all over the multiverse, and they have all different races, but they take on the form of the winged humanoid to do their work.
Okay.
But four angels and two dragons, or the beings that I started, they're kind of my core. They're with me all the time. I talk to them the most frequently, compared to other spiritual beings that I interact with. Really, for me, in the beginning, a large portion of my exploration into shamanism and spirituality was training directly under these spirits, was learning directly from them.
Okay.
They taught me, or reminded me, I guess, of my ability to do healing. Mm-hmm. To travel out of body and all of this stuff. And so for the longest time, that was how I kind of trained. There were a few people I met that taught me a lot in a short period of time, and helped me to confirm a lot of the things that the spirits were training me in as to be, you know, real and true.
Okay.
Came along at just the right times. And then, so, you know, again, a lot in between these two things, you know, many, many years in between, and a lot of experiences. And then at one point I was doing shamanic healing work, and I'm a massage therapist, working as a massage therapist. And I started to get all these signs. My spirit guides were telling me, hey, it's time to find your human teacher. You need to find like a teacher in an ancient lineage.
Okay.
I was watching TV, and like signs would come through the television about it, and like everywhere, like it was just, I was getting all these signs, and I was like, okay, I better listen. And so I didn't know where to start. And so I Googled like holistic healing near me. And it was so fast. So I pulled up the website, and there was this guy's picture. And I was like, I met that guy 10 years ago.
Wow.
So through that guy, I went to his place, had a shamanic healing session from him. Uh-huh. And I was like, where did you learn how to do this? And he said, well, my teacher, Zane Kerfman, he lived with the Pacos, the Keros, and he comes up here once every other year to do an apprenticeship.
Oh, okay.
And it just happened to be like a few months from when I had the session as he was doing the apprenticeship. So I decided to dive into it. Soon as I met Zane, I could see his energy field, feel his frequency, and I knew he was the teacher I was looking for. He's incredible. He's really, he's been all over. Like I said, he's been a lot. He really is. He studied. He primarily, his teachings are mostly Pakokuna, which is the indigenous healing tradition of the Keros, the people that live high in the mountains of the Andes.
Okay.
But he calls it sometimes cross-cultural shamanism, because he has also trained with other forms of Peruvian shamanism, like Huachumero, which are the shamans that work with San Pedro. He's briefly trained as an ayahuasquero, the ayahuasca shamans, curandero, curandera work. And he's also studied with some of the Afro-Caribbean traditions, and also sansei, which is African shamanism.
Wow.
I would not be able to keep track of all those words. No way.
Very well-rounded.
Yeah. So I apprenticed with him. I've been apprenticing with him for, what is it, about like 6 years now, something like that.
Okay.
So what that did, what the Pakokuna tradition did for me was it took all of this information and power that I had gathered from all of my spiritual experiences and training with the spirit, and it gave it organization and structure and language in a way that elevated everything to new heights that I couldn't have achieved without that. I've done everything from, I've studied at Zendo, Zen meditation, doing Zazen and Qigong, Qigong practice as well as Zazen. I'm a certified Reiki healer. I practice things like telekinesis and just all kinds of things.
I sent the video back to you, Charlie.
Yeah, I did see that video. That was pretty awesome right there.
Yeah. Even hypnosis. I mean, I've experienced with hypnotherapy. So many different modalities. That's kind of just a little brief. Brief overview.
It's a quick background there for you. So awesome. One thing that my ears immediately perked up, you said two dragons, and dragons are my kind of thing as well. I know there's so many different ways I do dragons differently than probably anybody else in the world does, but that's just the way I do it. I'd love to hear about your dragons, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I love their nicknames that I've given them in this life are Valdrath and Drathia. Well, Drathia, actually, my fiance, that was her nickname. Wait, let me back up a second. So it was originally the four angels. And then at a particular point, I was guided on a journey to the lower world. I'd done many journeys to the lower world, but this one, I was told that I was going to reunite with a guide that I've known for forever, but I haven't connected with in this life yet. I was in the lower worlds, and I remember I was on the shore of this giant ocean, and out of this ocean, this enormous dragon arose. And I mean, huge, like as in, like standing on the back of him, it feels like you're on a city block rather than in.
Wow. Him. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Pretty big size then.
Yeah. And I remember at first I was connecting energetically. And then I started to remember, receive the soul codes for how to speak his language. Mm-hmm. And then I was talking to him and I got to know him more. Now, for convenience sake, he will take on a humanoid form most of the time. Like if I'm here in the condo, like they're with me right now and they're in their humanoid forms, because the giant dragon form doesn't fit the best in a condominium. So, yeah. So so I was connecting with Valdorath for a long time and got to know him really well. And then when I met my now fiance, she had for a long time also had a dragon guide. And Valdorath is more like masculine, and her dragon guide, Drathea, is more feminine. And as we got to know each other, we realized, oh, okay, we've all known each other. And so Valdorath and Drathea are both mutual guides of ours.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I got to reconnect with her. I've done a lot of that ever since Eris and I have had that discovery. But yeah, they're very powerful beings. They're mm-hmm. And I've been to their I guess you'd call it their home planet a number of times.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Through journeying, of course, not physically. So you never know.
Just, you know? Poof, there goes Casey.
I don't know. It's real enough in your mind, you know, it might as well be, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I'd love to talk about that in a little bit. There's a lot of misconceptions about how imagination works. That's something I'm very passionate about talking about.
Yeah, that's I think a root of a lot of the stuff we get into is that, and you always have that thing. It's like, okay, am I just making all of this stuff up?
And, yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know, I know Jameson and I have talked about it. It's like even just reading tarot and some of the stuff. It's like, am I just making up the meanings of this, or does it really mean something? So yeah, that would be fascinating to get into at some point as well.
Yeah. Casey taught me a lot about trusting, like that if I'm having a problem, like fighting my imagination or worrying about it, it's just like, just why is it, so what? So what if you're imagining it? You like, have fun with it. If it's real, you'll get the affirmations that will show you. You'll get the affirmations, believe me.
Well, I want to correct my because that's one of my teachings and it's not quite correct. You got that a little different than I teach it, Jameson.
Not surprised.
You're close. You're very close though. So what I say is, imagination is our, and the Pacos also, which again, the Paco Kuna tradition, it is the oldest unbroken healing lineage that exists on the planet today. At the very least, the Pacos, the tradition as it stands and has been taught and has been passed down, has been around at least before the Incan Empire, possibly way far back. Before the Incan Empire. But we have records. We have record of it at least being around before the Incan Empire. So very, very old. And they have known, they've talked about this for, thousands of years, how the imagination and our emotions they're the imaginations and emotions of the gods. We have that in equal measure to the gods. And the imagination is our ability to perceive reality outside of the physical senses. And that's also it even ties into the physical. Our imagination is what's creating the physical sensations, or our ability to physically see, feel, smell, all of that. That's also our imagination. But when we tune it to a slightly different frequency, we can tune into different realities. Because the thing, we're here in this physical world, but we're also right here in the multiverse. The multiverse is right here. And so anything anyone has ever imagined is happening for real somewhere out there in the multiverse. You're actually tuning your ability to perceive reality to just the right reality to where you're picking up on something happening for real out there. Even the craziest, most fucked up shit you've ever imagined, that you've been tuning into a reality where that is currently happening somewhere for real. Because the multiverse is infinite, right? So it's
anything you can think of is happening, or will happen, or has happened.
It's happening simultaneously right now.
Right,
so
right.
It's all happening. Yes.
Yeah. If there's infinite number possibilities, of times, then it would be infinitely happening. Infinitely.
Yes. So much infinite. Exactly. so much infinite. Yes.
And for our humor break today, we'll be talking about the theory of relativity. Anyway. That's kind of mind-blowing, but that's awesome. That's awesome. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. So what I say though is, but our ego, right? Our the analytical thinking mind, its job is to help us to navigate this particular physical world, and it also its job is to defend our beliefs and keep things the same. It's terrified of change. Yes. And anything that challenges its worldview, because to it that could potentially mean death. And so when someone starts to walk a spiritual path, whatever it might be, especially, you know, if you're getting into psychic abilities or shamanic journeying or healing work, stuff like that, you're engaging with the imagination in a way where you're perceiving things outside of this physical reality. And the ego will sit there and it doubts it so much. It's trying to hold on to its previous worldview where this stuff wasn't real. Okay. Stuff didn't exist.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's terrified of this new change, this new information being brought to it. So it's trying to say, nope, not real. Reality's still the same way we always thought it was. You're just making this up, blah, blah, blah. But so what I say is don't fight that, right? Because if you sit there and you're on your first journey and the mind's like, yeah, you're just making all this stuff up. How do you know you're not making this up? This isn't real. So instead of sitting there and going, no, I shouldn't be thinking that. This is sacred. I'm learning how to journey. No. Instead of fighting your mind, which only fuels it and only gives it more energy and makes it louder, instead of doing that, you just say to the ego, to the mind, okay, you know what? Yes, I'm making all this up. It's all in my head. Okay, good. Now I'm going to continue to do it anyway.
There you go.
Right, right.
All right, I love that. I love that.
Yeah, you acknowledge it. Because it wants to be, you acknowledge it and say, yeah, I hear you. Yes, okay, that's fine. If I'm making all this up, great. It's all in my head. I'm going to keep doing it, though.
Yeah, okay.
And then that a lot of times that will get it to quiet down a lot more than if you sat there and tried to fight it and say, no, I'm supposed to be, this is sacred, this is real. Mm-hmm. You know,
yes.
Just acknowledge it.
That's really, really good advice. That's like, you know, when you run into the person online or whatever and they just want to argue, you know, they want the reaction from you. So it's that same kind of thing. It's your mind is trying to just keep fighting. If you fight your mind, then your mind's like, yay, everything's good. I'm still in control here. Instead of going, okay, whatever, dude, but this is my thing. So, damn, that's awesome. Absolutely. Okay, that is a great way of thinking of things. Oh, my God, my mind is just going, whoa, okay, wait a minute. Okay, go back to focus because we're doing a podcast, but wow, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the same thing with, because I teach shamanism, I teach meditation, I teach self-mastery. Self-mastery is something I'm very, very passionate about. But when I'm teaching meditation and self-mastery, that's something I go over with people a lot as well. And you know, I'm talking about, you know, not fighting the mind in terms of having a spiritual experience when you're engaging with the imagination outside of the physical. But same thing with meditation. People struggle with that a lot, you know, when trying to be present and still the mind. They'll sit there and they'll try and force the mind to be still. And all that does is it's like stirring the pot. It just stirs up all kinds of emotions, frustration, and then the emotions fuel the thoughts get more intense, and then the emotions get more intense, and it creates this feedback loop, and it's just not good.
Okay.
And here's one of my favorite things, right, is that because people sit there and they'll tell me, okay, yeah, I'm doing my self-mastery, I'm doing my meditation, doing my zazen, and my mind's just really fighting me. Like I'm sitting here trying to be present and my mind is really fighting me on that. And I'm like, no, that's not true. The mind is fighting itself, right? Because you're just pure, when you're, especially in the meditation practice, you're connecting with the part of you that is just pure awareness.
Okay.
Our essence is, it's nothingness, you know, the void, pure consciousness. There's many ways, oneness, many ways to say it. But it doesn't have emotions. It doesn't have thoughts. It's just pure, empty, spacious awareness. And so when the mind is distracting itself and the mind is arguing with itself, the mind is fighting itself. You aren't fighting it. You're just the space that holds the mind. You're the awareness that is witnessing the mind. The mind is talking back and forth with itself. It's doing it all for itself. Oh, and when you can learn to, when you can step back and say, okay, it's the mind fighting the mind. The mind is talking to itself. The mind is making itself frustrated, not me. It's not making me frustrated. It's making itself frustrated. Mm. And you can step back and you can just hold in your essence and awareness, you can just witness the mind doing all of this to itself, and you can step back instead of being involved and identified with it and fighting it. You can just hold it in awareness, and then it will naturally just settle down.
Okay.
Very still.
Wow. I like that. Okay, man, you were just, you're dropping all this little stuff. I'm like, ooh, these are things I need to try now. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, okay.
And it's, there's never a, like, for, especially for me, it like never stops having to practice. Like, I lose information and like my balance, like my whole mind and body and like life is out of balance. I have to go back to balancing things back up, getting grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is no such thing as a part-time spiritual master.
Right. Yeah. It's a full-time job. So
your entire life is the place of practice. Mm-hmm. And that's a mistake a lot of people make too, whether it's with meditation or, you know, other forms of self-mastery. People sit there and they have their practice, right? And they're like, okay, everything's quiet. I got my candles lit. It's a, you know, dimly lit room, whatever. Let's get the incense going. And I'm sitting here meditating. And this is great. And then they have that as their practice. And then they have the rest of their life, right?
Yeah.
And they're there's this big divide between the two. And really, when you're in the middle of it, when you're having that argument with someone, when you're at work and your boss is stressing you out or whatever, that's the real place to practice. That's where you really grow. That's where you should really be training. Yes, of course, practice when everything's quiet and still, that's great for anchoring certain things in, learning. But in terms of your real growth and evolution, it happens out in the world when shit's going down.
Yeah.
You can't just be zen when you're at home.
That's true. You have to carry it, figure out how to carry it with you through everything, or, you know, at least experience it. Wow. Man, yeah, I couldn't just do this part-time. God, now you tell me I just signed up for a lifelong adventure.
Beautiful. You know, especially this with self-mastery, learn, because, again, this is, so I haven't even talked much about this. I'd like to get into that, though, but we have far more control over how we feel and what we think than we've been ever taught, you know. And it's funny because I remember, like, in grade school, they came in and they taught us about, like, the triangle of health. You have your physical health, your social health, and your mental and emotional health, you know. And they talk about the mental and emotional health, and then they don't tell us anything about how to actually be mentally and emotionally healthy.
They just
mention it's important, guys, but what do we do about it? We're not taught anything.
This is true.
You look at it. Can you just look at it?
Was that a reference to Ed Bassmaster?
It could be. I know it's a reference to something. I think a YouTube video of some sort.
It is, yeah. Ed Bassmaster on YouTube. Would you just look at it? that brings me back.
you young kids with all your newfangled ideas. I'm the Gen X over here. It's like, what? Think about it. Are you crazy? Pack that stuff away and just throw it in a corner. You'll never have to mess with that. Don't worry. It's not going to be like a ticking time bomb. Seriously, promise. It won't just explode on you one day. No, really, it's fine. It's fine.
You're Gen X is like, but when were you Gen X? Because, like, I was Gen X until, like, 2004 when they moved the damn goalpost. Guess what? You're no longer Gen X. You're a millennial.
You're like, millennial.
When did I become a millennial?
You're a millennial now, Jason?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, it was like in the 2000s they changed it, and I went from being Gen X to fucking millennial, and I was like, nobody told me they were changing where the generation line was.
It's so wild. All of this, though, the whole, you know, boomer, Gen X, millennial, Gen Z, like, there's just so many tactics to keep us divided.
I was born in 68, okay? So I'm like dead in the middle of whatever they want to call Gen X. And believe me, I lived through the 80s, all right? To me, it's like, if you didn't live through the 80s, you just don't get it, okay? That's all I know. And now I sound like those old guys. It's like, if you weren't there for the 60s, you just don't know. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm becoming all those people now. Craziness.
Old man.
That's me. But you know what? I live it. Old guys rule. We have T-shirts.
Oh, Lord.
We do. So, anyway, sorry.
So, yeah, no problem. We just, when you start to explore it and someone shows you and you start to practice, I'll talk about this. So for my biggest struggle in life had been anxiety. I have struggled with such bad anxiety that I've lost jobs over it. There were many days where my anxiety was so bad I couldn't get out of bed. And wow. Other days, okay. When I specifically remember a number of times being in the parking lot of a job that I worked at, getting ready to go into work, having such bad anxiety that I just turned around and drove home and had to call off because the anxiety was too bad to even walk in the door at work. So really, really horrific anxiety. And I remember I used to would sit there and be like, I would give anything to be free of this. I would do anything and give anything. I suppressed a lot. I was an alcoholic for a number of years. I drank ungodly amounts of alcohol every single day to suppress the anxiety. But then at a certain point I realized, okay, this isn't working. I know where this leads.
Yeah.
And I don't want to walk down that path. And so with the help of certain teachers and my spirit guides, I started to learn how to navigate the anxiety, how to integrate it. And now I teach this. It's one of the things I love teaching. And I'm I work with people. Like, for example, I had this client come to me, apprenticing self-mastery, and they had severe OCD and social anxiety to the point where they've been hospitalized in the psych ward 3 times in like a period of a year or two for it.
Whoa, okay. Serious.
And
Lordy.
When they came to me, they had said they had been in a perpetual panic attack for 3 weeks nonstop. And
yeah,
I just taught him.
Wow.
Yeah. I taught him this very, very simple exercise that I teach people. And within 5 minutes, what I do is I start out, I have people identify, okay, instead of just, okay, I'm having a panic attack or I'm having anxiety, this is an overwhelming thing, I don't know what to do about it. Step one, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how intense is this in your body right now? And so, okay, it's 9. Okay, well, that's something we can work with. It's no longer just, holy fuck, what do I do? It's a 9 out of 10. Okay, let's play with that number. And then I guide people into feeling the individual sensations instead of your mind just going, this is anxiety, this is a panic attack. What does it really feel like in the body? Maybe what your mind was just thinking, oh, God, this is anxiety. Maybe it actually feels like a really sharp prickling sensation or a clenching in your chest or a stabbing or, what are the individual sensations that make up that anxiety? And then you start to explore that. And then the big thing is you relax, you release the internal contraction around the anxiety, you relax that. And then you start to move and play with the sensations, start to manipulate them and play with the energy. And so I do this with all kinds of people, but I'm using this one example with this guy. And within 5 minutes, he went from like 9 or 10 out of 10, as bad panic attack as he could get, down to 0, like no anxiety whatsoever in like 5 minutes. And I wasn't doing any healing on him. I wasn't,
wow.
I wasn't manipulating any energy. I didn't call on the spirits to help him. I just guided him through a super simple process that literally anyone can do. And again, 5 minutes, he was free of his anxiety. And so, and I taught it to many other people before him, but that was really for me, like, wow, if this is someone who's literally, clinically diagnosed with such bad anxiety that they're on all these meds and they've been into the psych ward multiple times and they've been in a perpetual panic attack for 3 weeks and nothing has helped, and just this simple exercise can completely free him of his anxiety. Like, we are so much more powerful than we've ever been taught. We have so much more control over our emotions and our mind than we've ever been taught. And Okay. Yeah, that's just, I don't know why there was some direction I was going with that originally, but yeah, it's just, that's something I'm very passionate about. Like we are so powerful and we, most of us just have no idea what we're capable of.
Yeah, that is so true and so obvious. You know, you're not taught any of these things, so you know how do you?
No, not at all.
And you know, just think of society. Just watch TV. Watch any shows. You know, some like primetime and stuff. I'll bet 4 out of 5 commercials are about this new pill for this or this drug for that or this thing for that. It's like, is that really the best way how we handle our lives? So it's
right.
Yeah. I want to clarify something, because there's a lot of people in the spiritual community that kind of have a toxic view of like medication, where they say, all medication is bad. You know, don't take pharmaceuticals. I think there's a time and a place for all medicine, including pharmaceuticals. And,
yeah,
no, I agree.
And you know, for some people, maybe their thing is anxiety. Maybe they need anxiety medications for a time, so that they can feel safe enough to actually do the self-mastery practices.
Okay.
And then with those medications assisting them, then they learn to do the practice on their own. And once they get good and comfortable with it, then they can be weaned off. Yes. It shouldn't be a permanent solution, I don't think, though.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you there. And it's there, you know, there's time and place for everything. I'm not against, you know, anything. I'm on, you know, medication for my high blood pressure, cholesterol, these kind of things. So, you know, there are things. I'm not saying I'm anti-everything, but when it's just being forced to, oh, you have this problem, here, take this pill, take this pill, take this pill, yeah, take this pill. When your only solution is take another pill or do this other medicine, then we have an issue. You know, to me, if that's your only solution, that's the problem, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I so wish that someone had just sat me down all those years ago and showed me how to do what I'm teaching people now. Like, it would have been. Well, I mean, although I don't wish that, because everything I experienced led me to where I am, and I'm very grateful for where I am. And this is all beautiful, but it would be interesting to see how my life would have played out differently.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing. The medications, they suppress. They suppress the anxiety. Mm-hmm. They don't actually. I'm talking a lot about anxiety because that's my thing. I'm really passionate about helping people with, and I have a lot of experience with it. But they shove it down. They suppress it, and then you end up. And whether it's a psychiatric medication or alcohol or opiates or whatever you're using, television, sex, food, whatever you're using to suppress that anxiety, you're building up like a backlog of it. And that's something I had to deal with when I came off of alcohol. And anyone who's come off of, especially alcohol or, you know, opiates, will tell you when you quit, there's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of
feedback.
Yeah. And so it's basically, it's like all of that anxiety you've been suppressing over the years, you've taken away the thing that's been suppressing it. And so it all starts to come to the surface. So yeah, it's just that's I'm really passionate about teaching people about how to navigate their emotions, because that's so important. They're literally, it's one of our two greatest gifts and powers that we have, is the two things, our emotion and our imaginations. They're the two powers of the gods. We're all gods and goddesses, and we have imagination and emotions. They're really powerful. And it's like, for me, right, and especially, well, like the example of the mind, and or the emotions, right, you know, but especially the mind. Yeah. We have this mind, and it just does whatever the fuck it wants, and it thinks about all kinds of crazy things, causes us all this suffering, and it's like, we have no control over it. And I heard this metaphor once. I don't remember who said it, but it was really great. It was like, it would be like if you were born. You have your right hand. You have two perfectly good hands, and you just never learn how to use your right hand. Like there's nothing neurologically wrong with it, nothing physically wrong with it. It's a perfectly functioning hand. You just never took the time to learn how to use your hand, and so it just spazzes out and smacks you and hits that, knocks things off the desk, and then, you know, maybe someone's like, "Oh man, are you okay? Like, you have something wrong with your hand?" "Oh no, it's fine. I just never learned how to use it." People would be like, "What are you talking about?
What are you saying?"
Right.
So it sounds ridiculous in that scenario, but then that's how we are with our minds, right? We have these minds and we've never learned how to actually use them, how to direct them in the way that we want them to go, how to still them. We want to be still and present, how to direct them to generate gratitude, how to use them to manifest the things that we want in our lives. Instead, we're sitting there at 3 a.m. thinking about all this horrible stuff and causing ourselves all this anxiety, wishing, I wish I could sleep and I wish I wasn't suffering so bad. Why does this happen? Mm-hmm. Just learn a little bit of self-mastery and it will change your life.
That is amazing. Wow. Okay. Yeah. This is your passion area for sure, man. This is awesome.
And absolutely.
I'm now making a list of people that I'm sending your way because they need your help.
Please do, man. Great. Speaking of, I haven't actually made a video in a while, but I'm planning to get back into it. But I have a YouTube channel called The Space Shaman. I have a lot of awesome teaching on there for free.
Okay.
It's a great resource for people that want to, you know, learn and dive into certain things. There's a lot of, and I also have a lot of like healing demonstration videos of me performing healings for people, both in person and virtually online.
Okay.
I recommend people please check that out and subscribe if you can. That would be great because I want to help as many people as I can.
Awesome.
Get this information out there. I want to help people who are ready and who want to be able to find that freedom that they're looking for. And so the more eyes I have on me and the YouTube channel, the more people I can help. So if anyone's listening to this, you could subscribe to the Space Shaman. That would be great.
Yeah. I'll make sure all of that is in the show notes on this episode. So there'll be a link that they can click on, take it right to your YouTube page. And yes, like, subscribe, you know, it does help. It really, really does. I don't even know, Jameson, what's going on? I am just so blown away right now. I can't even focus. I'm just like, oh my God.
Oh, you're all good. No, I definitely, that's why Casey and I, when we get together, usually it's just like an hour or two of us blowing each other's minds over some spiritual thing or meditating. My favorite is just drinking tea.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Love my tea, man.
There you go. This is awesome, man. I'm gonna have to like sit down and like make a list, and I think we're gonna have you on for like 2-3 more episodes just to like cover all this stuff. And you are
great.
I mean, if you're up to that, I mean, this is awesome.
Totally. Yeah. This has been. Yeah, I love talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to have him do a walk us through a shamanic journey.
Yeah.
I think especially because it'll be fun for like Charlie and I, but like any listeners, they can just tune in and they can listen. Believe me, you can do it anytime, and I find it easier when you walk me through it, just because I have a chaotic mind if I'm talking to people. But if I'm alone, that's different. But if I'm like on the phone with somebody, I can't just shamanic journey. But talking to Casey has a good way of like walking you through it, so it's real easy to follow.
Awesome.
I love it. I'd love to do that. Shamanic journeying especially, that's something I actually have been practicing that pre-awakening. I remember I used to do it as a kid. I had a grade school friend, we would lay down next to each other, and I didn't know this is what we were doing, but we would lay down, we would go into trance, and then we would travel out of body. And you know, back then we called it traveling to the spirit world, and we didn't care if it was, you know, we believed it was real, but it wasn't like that serious. We weren't sitting there like, is this real, is this imagining? We were just playing, you know, we were having fun. But it was really wild because we'd lay down next to each other and we'd have these adventures. And then we'd come back, and sometimes we would share, and we'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember when this happened, and we were, you know, both having the same experience or in the same place somewhere out there in the multiverse. And then it was funny because then, you know, I stopped doing that, and it was, you know, went through the whole atheist thing, and then, you know, and then rediscovered shamanic training, and I was like, oh, I used to do this when I was a kid. Holy crap. So that's something I've been practicing for a really long time, very passionate about teaching people who are interested in it, because it's it's really freeing to know that we're not, you know, we're not trapped here in these bodies. Like, we are here in these bodies, but we have the freedom to go anywhere in the multiverse. You could visit a beautiful paradise planet anytime you want. You could get in a battle somewhere with some alien race of beings if you want to. Whatever you want to do. The multiverse is infinite, and there's no end to the number of things that we have the ability to experience, you know, out there. And so it's very freeing, and especially connecting with one's spirit guides is such a powerful thing, because they're here with you anyway. And but they have a limited ability to actually help and assist us. When we ask them for help, and we learn to slow down and use the imagination to receive information, to learn to enter into a dialogue with them, like, wow, that really shifts things, man. Through their guidance, I've manifested this whole life that I live now. Like, there's like so many things. Like, I wanted my own. I was living in with my parents for forever, and I really wanted a quiet place in the suburbs. I said apartment. I got a condominium. I wanted to do shamanic healing and for a living, and have my own business and be self-sufficient with that. And I manifested that. I wanted my perfect person, my partner, my, you know, Yanantan. Yanantan is like, I won't get into it, complimentary opposite, but sacred couple. You know, I guess you could say like soulmate. That's a term people are familiar with. She's in my life now, and like so many things that I have, that where I'm at right now, were dreams that through communicating with my spirit guides and following their guidance when they gave it, came into real life for me. You know?
That's awesome. That is so cool. You're like another friend of mine. She early on in her life was diagnosed with a medical problem that, you know, they really didn't think that she would live past 30 at the best. You know, she'd, you know, all kinds of problems. And she, you know, she came home from that and decided, no, that's not going to be it. So she started, she already had some psychic abilities and things. And so she just dove more into like her things and researched more and, you know, how to do things, how to change things in her life. And she is, she'll kill me if she ever finds out exactly who, but she's up there in age now, shall we say, probably in her 60s at this point, and just going strong, stronger than ever. She is just one of the most amazing people in my life. So, yeah, this is all possible. It's awesome. I love, you know, talking to somebody else who, you know, is, you know, you've done all this. You've manifested all these things in your life. It's like, yes, it is possible. You can do this. Man, I'm so blown away. I'm kind of incoherent right now. It's like, I know I'm not making sense, but oh my God, thank you, Casey.
It makes sense to me. And, you know, and that's the thing is I'm not like an anomaly, you know, anyone can do this.
Yeah.
Anyone can learn.
And you have a passion for teaching and training people how to do these things. So this is also awesome, man. I love this so much. We will have some conversations, I'm sure, because my path, I was talking with this another person I met, and he's all like, you're just going to be one of those people, aren't you? I go, what? He goes, you've been like on this awakening path for like 20 years now. He goes, most people, it's like a week, couple of weeks, or they'll have like a boom like Jameson did. He goes, you just are going to take your damn sweet time, aren't you? I go, yeah, that's kind of how I do it. So,
hey, man, I'll tell you what. Because there's many different paths. But, you know, there's kind of like two big main types of spiritual awakening. There are those who seek it out themselves and study and slowly, you know, awaken to these things. And then there's people like me and Jameson who are just thrown to the other side and have to crawl our way back to sanity. Although I'm grateful for it now, I'm in a beautiful place, and I love where I'm at the time, man, there was so much suffering and chaos, and I wouldn't necessarily wish that.
When you're going, I should see the doctor. I think something's wrong. It can be a little intense.
This other guy, he was like my spiritual awakening. He goes, it was like a full on psychotic break. He goes, he goes, I made it through the other side, or it could actually get through this, and I didn't just get thrown into a psych world, and you have no idea, who I am now. He goes, it was that intense and that nuts. He goes, so
yes.
Everybody does it differently. He goes, you just have to be on a journey. You're on a self-aware kind of journey kind of thing. So that's why I say my path. Yeah. My path is a very winding one, a very crooked. I turn left, I turn right, I had to go this, I go that. I grab the little pieces as I go by, and I put together my picture. So it's fun.
Yeah, it's a beautiful path.
Yeah. And you know what I was thinking about is I wonder if, like Casey said, everybody has the ability to do all of these things that we talk about. And it's just about, like, learning and being safe and all this. I wonder how much illness and sickness and all this stuff, like, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm not giving out, like, doctor information. No. I wonder if how much illness is just because of the buildup of them not using gifts that they have or are attuned to and don't even have a clue that they are. And it's just, you're not using, like, say one person is an energy healer, but they have no clue their whole life that they can heal people. So they're just building up. And then you find out years later that, like, they had a brain aneurysm. And it's like, was that in connection to, or has it nothing to do? Was it, it could be fluke accident. But I wonder if how much, like, if there could be a way to see a correlation.
Yeah, life is the illness. That's the other thing, though, because you brought up a point that I love to clear up when I get the chance. Like, a lot of people hear that I'm a shamanic healer, and they see the videos of me doing, like, these incredible healings. Like, I mean, one example I like to give, it's really cool healing I did. This woman, she was in a motorcycle accident, flew 75 feet through the air, hit the pavement, and shattered her pelvis. She was watching my live stream after she had just had the surgery to reconstruct her pelvis. She was in, like, 9 out of 10 pain, like, excruciating pain. Even with the pain meds, she was, like, 9 out of 10 pain. And I did, it was, like, a little 15-minute healing for her. It's on the channel somewhere. I did, like, a 15-minute healing, and she was pain-free. And I continued to see her for shamanic healing for, like, 3 months after that. And we never had to work on the hips again. The pain never came back. So people see stuff like that, and then they'll hear me like, oh yeah, I was sick last week, or oh man, like my foot and my ankle's killing me. I'm like, well, how come? Well, you shouldn't be. What do you mean? You're a healer. How come? No, the thing is,
that's pain, not the way it works.
Injury, sickness, illness. It doesn't matter how spiritually advanced you are.
Mm-hmm.
Illness and injury can happen to anyone at any time.
Sure.
It's not a punishment. There's a lot in the New Age community where people, it's really toxic. There's a lot of things about the New Age spiritual community that I absolutely do not agree with whatsoever. And one of those things is this idea of, you manifested your illness. You had all these negative thoughts and your illness is a result of your negative thinking and all of this stuff. And it doesn't matter. You could be the most peaceful. You could be the greatest spiritual master in the world, and you could have some shit happen to you. It doesn't. It's just. Exactly. It's a part of.
Yeah, you could get pneumonia because you got too cold. Yes.
However, I will say though that I've also seen. I've worked with people who have had issues. That, like, I've had people that have needed surgery for certain things, and through shamanic healing, they were able to avoid the surgery because the shamanic healing was all they needed. It's not always the case for everyone, but real healing that most people would call miraculous, like, that happens, and I've seen it. I've facilitated it many, many, many times.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So cool. But again, it's not spirit punishing you. It's not the result of you not doing the inner work that you're sick or anything like that. It can happen to anyone.
Right, so it's not like an end-all, is-all kind of thing.
Yeah, it's and that's the thing, is that anything I say, right, nothing I say is ultimate truth. Because everything's so complex. You know, I have people that, because I have a lot of experience. I have a lot of experience with traveling the multiverse, communicating with spiritual beings, all that stuff. So sometimes I have people ask me, like, what happens to us after we die? And I'm like, well, there's not just one thing. There's many things that can happen. Yeah. You know, is incarnation real? Yeah, some people reincarnate, some people don't. What about like heaven? Yeah, there are realms that are exactly like how heaven is described. There's a lot of, and it's the multiverse, it's infinite. There's so many things that can happen. Some of us came here and we pre-planned to like have a certain amount of incarnations and experiences, and then after that we were going to reunite with our spiritual brothers and sisters. Some of us didn't come here by our own volition at all. Some of us were forced here, you know. And it's just there's everything. There's so many, and same thing with illness, sickness. Why did this happen? Like, what causes this, that? It's so complex. And that's the beautiful paradox.
There's an infinite number.
And it's such a beautiful paradox too, right, Jameson? Because spirit and life and reality is so infinitely complex and also so, so, so profoundly simple at the same time. Right? Like, we have dualistic. We have dualistic reality, right?
Yeah, the duality there. It's just like, what?
Yeah, because there's the dualistic reality, the dualistic truth, the reality, and then there's the one-ality. So in the reality, in the dualistic reality, you know, it's infinitely complex. There's so much. It's the multiverse. Every single possibility you can imagine is happening right now. It's infinite. And yet, also at the same time, what is our true nature? What's the true nature of all of that complexness? We're just emptiness, we're space, we're awareness. That's it. And you know,
it's funny, my 5-year-old would differ. My 5-year-old would yell, I'm a banana.
Yeah, and that's true. That's true for her in that moment.
She thinks it is. It's true in her universe.
It is. And that's a really that's a whole other road. I was gonna start talking about reality shifts and things that I've experienced. Okay, so maybe that's for another time.
Yeah, let's save that for another one. Because we start on that, we'll be here 2 hours from now, still, you know, covering that.
Right.
And we're actually.
And we could always record another.
Yeah. We're actually like an hour in right now, which is really good. So see, time flies by when we get into this stuff. Man,
this is a blast, guys.
It is. This is so much fun.
It always is.
Yeah, and it's great getting to meet you, Casey.
I'd rather do this on Sunday night.
Yes, it was beautiful getting to meet you, Charlie, and I always love talking to you, Jameson. I really want to get together and hang out, practice.
Yeah, we haven't had tea time in a while.
Yeah, I want to do that. So, Charlie, you're in California.
Right? Yeah, I'm out.
If you're ever in the area, I'd love to hang out all three of us.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man, definitely. Possibly next year I'll be making a couple of trips toward the east, so we'll see how it works out.
Awesome.
I have a few things going right now, and it just depends on how those turn out, you know, what builds off of, you know, so just starting things right now.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, guys. I'll say, share this with you. Anaiki Kuyaiki, which is thank you, I love you. And then Urbi Chai Sonkulai, is a dove from my heart to you. It's Quechua. So, yeah, Anaiki Kuyaiki, guys.
Wow. Thank you. Appreciate that. Right. It's a paranormal. No, that was beautiful, Casey. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know where to go now. Now my mind's like, whoop, okay. I was leading this somewhere. I really was. Okay, anyway.
It's okay. You'll be here one day, Casey, when I take them on to the boat to Tangent Island. Today I just happen to be a little quiet.
Yeah, we usually always go there. Anyway, okay, so that is... All right, I guess we're gonna like start wrapping things here because we're an hour in, so we're good. I could go on for another.
We'll have to wrap up because my uncle passed away this week, so there's been a lot of family conversation. Oh, it's okay. It was just unexpected. You know, life is life, and it is sad, and I wish that family, my part of my family, well. It's just intense, and it's always unexpected, so.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely for sure. Anyway, this has been just so much of a joy. I'm hopeful we'll get some listener comments, questions come in about this, you know, more things. But definitely in case they want to have you back on for other episodes, because like I said, I'm going to sit down and go through like a list of topics and go, hey, this would be good. This would be good. So.
I'd love that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Great, man. Really appreciate that you made the time to come on. Great meeting you. I can understand now why Jameson calls you his brother. You guys are, you know, definite, and you have information and knowledge that I'm like, ooh, I need to learn more about this stuff. So, so expect me to start bothering you a little bit. Anyway,
and you'll get answers to those things in like 20 minutes after talking to him. You have 100 more questions. Like every time I see Casey, we go on and on. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
Oh, what about this? Let's move on to this. How about we practice this? Hey, you want some tea?
That's a good time. And I want to say, because you know you're having these thoughts of, in case anyone else is, you know, I do take on apprentices for people that want to learn shamanism, self mastery.
Okay.
And so if anyone wants to do that, you know, I'm sure you can put my email and a link. People can reach out to me.
All right.
I had a website. I took it down because most people just emailed me anyway. So I'm like, I'll just have people email me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if anyone's interested in learning about self-mastery, shamanism, emotional, mental mastery, meditation, all this stuff, reach out, send me an email. And if you're interested, we can set up an apprenticeship.
Heck yeah. That's what I did.
Yes, and I also want to, I do healing sessions as well. I was talking about healing, but I offer shamanic healing sessions virtually. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. I've worked with people all over from here in the U.S. to Australia, all over Europe, India.
Wow.
So, yeah, if anyone is interested in having a one-on-one healing session, that's something we can set up as well.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Yes, I'll make sure all your information is in the show notes. Jameson.
But this will be recorded, and this one will drop in 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 2 weeks from now. Tomorrow.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Episode 11 comes out tomorrow, and then this one will go 2 weeks after that. So.
There we go.
So, whatever that is. So, cool. 7th. So, what? That's the 21st of July, I think.
Something like that. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, that's when this episode would drop. Got any other thoughts, Jameson? Anything you want to say, put in here?
No, not today. I have to go use the restroom because my squirrel bladder is telling me, go!
Sorry, I'm right there with you, Jameson. We're getting ready to go, me and Eris are getting ready to go down to my parents' cabin in Southern Ohio, so I gotta start prepping. I have to go shopping for food and get packed and everything.
All right.
Well,
okay.
You guys have fun. Send Eris my love, and I will talk to you guys very, very soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you, Jameson. Love you so much, brother. And love you too, Charlie.
Love you too, man.
All right. Love you too, Casey. Thank you so much. So, that wraps it up. Thanks, everybody, for listening, enjoying. If you have any questions for Casey or anything, his information will all be in the show notes. Or, you know, drop us a little voice memo with your question. You can be part of another episode that we record. Any last words, Jameson?
Toodles.
Toodles. All right. Yeah. Why?
Sorry, Toodles was great.
Why do I try and be serious? Why? Okay, bye. Love everyone. Bye.